If you hear speaking in tongues, it's just the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast no Democrat candidate can plagiarize. And now, he might wear a mask someday, if he ever gets ugly enough. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is, as you heard, this is Doug Jones, your Medicare expert, and I'm coming to you from a screen's depth away from a COVID virus clinic. We're taking it easy today because Randy thinks he's coming down with it. Everybody else he's related to in Arizona already has it, so I guess it was only a matter of time till it became his turn, and so we're not going to have the normal Randy, the fun-loving, energetic, I hate Medicare Randy. We're going to have a more business-like, silent Randy who probably won't think anything I say is funny or any entertaining at all. So let me do his work for him. We are here because of my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man. The 2021 version is for sale on Amazon. And just this morning, I discovered that the 2021 version of the Kindle edition has gone up for sale overnight on Amazon. So if you go to Amazon and search for Medicare for the Lazy Man, you'll see the books with the bright red 2021 on the cover. And that's the most current edition of our book. And they'll be for sale all year. Your choice, Kindle or paperback right now. And as soon as Randy recovers, we're going to be working on the Audible book. You'll get to hear my dulcet tones reading my own words right into the microphone for you to absorb. But right now, when I look at Randy through the screen, I'm thinking that's going to be put off by a week or so. He just doesn't look energetic enough to have to listen to what I have to say about Medicare. That's like a double whammy. Listening to me is bad enough, but when the subject matter sucks, that's just bad. So anyway, the announcer you heard was Drew McMillan, my Canadian cousin. In case you didn't know, he's the host of a Canadian television show, one of the hosts, called Powerboat TV. If you're a Yank and you like such things, you can watch episodes of Powerboat TV on powerboattv.com. I heard through the family grapevine that January 2nd, the new episodes for the most current season will be broadcast. But I don't know if that means they're going to be broadcast in Canada or if they're going to be posted on the website for Yanks to enjoy at the same time or whether that's going to be delayed. So other things that we normally talk about, this podcast, we enjoy doing it. We enjoy having you listen to it. And we would ask that if you like it, you might go to the platform that you're listening on and give a 5-star rating or a review if you feel like it. Other people like to read about the opinions of those who have gone before. If you buy the book, you might go back to Amazon and leave a short written review. That's always very helpful. And other listeners or readers following you, discovering the book or the podcast for the first time, would read your words of wisdom and perhaps take action based on what you have to say. So I think that's most of what we normally do. So as the fun level I've established over the last couple of podcast episodes was to allow Randy to choose between three or four subjects that I would then pontificate about. However, Randy has just fallen asleep on his side of the microphone. The screen has almost gone blank. All I can see is his hair as his head is laying on his arms. So I'm going to select our content for today and not actually wake him up in order to have to participate. So what I've got here is an article that I somehow scammed off of the internet from a company not too long ago. And the title of the article is More People Are Working Past Age 65. What does it mean for agents selling Medicare plans? Now, I knew this was happening because most of my clients, when they contact me, they read the book, they listen to the podcast, and they contact me at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. And often they say, hey, I want to retire next month or next year, or my wife is about to retire and I'm on her insurance and she's got to go on Medicare. How do we handle that? And then these people become my clients, and generally speaking, and I tell them, okay, well, you're living in such and such a state. I'm licensed in all states. I'm going to tell you what it would cost to get the kind of insurance that I recommend. And then you can make your choice. And if you go with me, decide to become my client, then I will send you forms. You will sign them. I will fill them out for you. I will send you completed copies. I will send the originals into the insurance company. And before long, your insurance questions will have been answered. Your insurance needs will have been taken care of. And you won't have to think about it again for a long, long time. That's the way it works if you decide to become my my client. You can also go to our website that Randy and Margaret engineered for me, MedicareForTheLazyMan.com. If you scroll down on the landing page, you'll find a map of the United States. You can click on your state, fill out a short questionnaire, and then click the thing that says send it to Doug. I don't know what that thing looks like, but when I get a questionnaire like that in the mail, I respond immediately because on the questionnaire it says, do you have any questions? And I think people typically understand that means tell me about yourself. Tell me about your situation. Are you retiring? Are you working? Are you over 65? Are you over 85? What are you looking for? What kind of product are you looking for? Does what we say in the book, does what we say in the podcast make any sense to you? Like high value, high deductible Medicare supplements, that sort of thing. So then when I get that questionnaire, I act accordingly and I send you back information based on your concerns, your questions, your preferences. So that's the long version of what we do here. But so I started with this article, people working past age 65, more people are than ever before. So it goes into the subject matter for agents selling Medicare plans. The stereotypical prospect has been someone with graying hair approaching the age of 65 or already past it and retired. There have always been those who don't fit the stereotype. However, lately, you've probably noticed more of them. And I certainly have. I don't know if this article, if this author knew they were talking to me. It's Roxanne Anderson. I've heard her name a lot. She works for an insurance company. And so that insurance company has a lot of podcasts, and I hear her name a lot. So I probably hear what she's written a lot. Traditionally, getting to the big 6'5 has meant two things. One, that you're now eligible for Medicare based on your age. And two, that you are now able to retire with full benefits. While this milestone birthday still marks the age of Medicare eligibility, it's no longer the Social Security full benefit retirement age. For those born in 1955 and turning 65 this year, next year, the full benefit retirement age is 66 and 2 months. This age will slowly increase to 67 for those born in or after 1960. The Bureau of Labor Statistics projects that by 2024, the workforce will include 36% of 65 to 69 year olds. In addition, a 2014 ARP study tells us that 70% of experienced workers plan to work full-time or part-time in retirement. This whole paradigm shift not only affects seniors, but I hate the word seniors, but also those who closely work with this population. If you're an insurance agent who sells Medicare plans, it's time to consider how you need to adjust to better serve your clients and their changing needs. You must be able to answer questions about Medicare while still working. This is addressed to insurance agents, in case you didn't realize that. If your client is receiving employer coverage from an employer with 20 or more employees, they have options. They don't have to switch to Medicare. They could delay Medicare Parts A and B without penalty. Your client could also sign up for Original Medicare, but it's probably not worth it for them to pay the Part B premium since their employer coverage would be the primary payer. However, as long as they qualify for premium-free Part A, they should probably enroll in that. And the caveat here is I think everybody that's able to get free Part A should enroll in it. However, those who have a health savings account as their employer health insurance plan should not enroll in any part of Medicare until they are off of that plan. Because if they want to keep making tax-deductible contributions to their health savings account, participation in Medicare precludes that, and they should not enroll in any part of Medicare. So then it goes on to say, is your client receiving employer coverage from a company with fewer than 20 employees? The employer could require that the client and their spouse, if the spouse is on the insurance, to switch over to Medicare once they're eligible. If this happens, Medicare will likely act as the primary payer, and the employer plan would pay secondary. And now it's saying that agents must be ready to help people who plan to rejoin the workforce. One Home Instead, I don't know what that is, One Home Instead survey found that after retirement, approximately 39% of U.S. workers age 65 or older rejoin the workforce. If a client with Medicare unretirees, if a client with Medicare unretires, they'll have to decide if they want to go on employer coverage, keep their Medicare coverage, or both. It's important to be aware and to make your client aware that if they decide to unenroll from Medicare Part B when they or their spouse rejoin the workforce, they may have to pay a penalty when they re-enroll in it later on. The exception would be if they get a special enrollment period, which we call an SEP in the business, to rejoin Medicare Part B after their employer coverage ends. One Home Instead survey found that the, okay, that's just the same thing worded slightly differently. One thing to consider here is that if a client or if a prospect, a person, rejoins the workforce and thinks about taking the employer coverage, they should look carefully at what they're paying for Medicare coverage and what the benefit structure of the client's employer plan is, because very frequently that employer plan is going to be more expensive and with skimpier coverage, like with a doctor and hospital network that they must adhere to. And if their doctor or local hospital isn't in that network, then they might find that to be an inconvenient choice. They might be asked by the employer to contribute a larger amount of money every month than Medicare Part B plus a supplement would cost them. So ultimately, Medicare is very, very good coverage for a reasonable cost. And so if somebody is thinking about either staying on or rejoining an employer group plan, they should take a look at the cost and benefits of each before making their decision. So the article goes on to say you must explain how to sign up for or delay Medicare Parts A and B. That's the agent has to explain that to the client. With your clients possibly having to make changes to their coverage, you'll want to be sure they know how to do it. You don't want a client assuming their Medicare coverage will start or be delayed automatically. Instruct your clients how they should contact their local Social Security office for assistance in enrolling in or dropping Medicare coverage. Often you don't have to do that. If you're on Social Security, the Social Security Administration, which was assigned the oversight of Medicare, they will enroll you automatically in Medicare Part A and Part B. And before you turn 65, they're going to mail you an ID card and they'll say, welcome to Social Security, welcome to Medicare. They'll enclose a card that allows you to disenroll yourself or refuse enrollment from Medicare Part B. And then you can enroll later on when it's more convenient with your plans. So this article didn't happen to mention that, but you do have the option. If they enroll you automatically, you have the option of declining that offer until a future time. So then the insurance agent must tell clients when their Medicare supplement original OEP open enrollment period. The Medicare supplement open enrollment period basically occurs when you turn 65 or later if you get Part B later because you've been covered by your employer plan. So that's what they call it. It's kind of confusing because there's an open enrollment period for Medicare Advantage plans that we're going to be in starting tomorrow. Today is December 31st, and tomorrow, January 1st, there's going to be a three-month Medicare Advantage open enrollment period during which Medicare Advantage victims can change plans once if they think they found a plan that's less disgusting than the one they were tricked into signing up for, or they can disenroll from their Medicare Advantage plan and then join regular Medicare, Parts A and B, and apply for a Medicare supplement plan if they so choose. So the article goes on to say, if your client has employer coverage and there are less than 20 employees at the company, they should get a 63-day period after their employer coverage ends to enroll in a Medicare supplement plan with guaranteed issue rights. For a client with employer coverage through a company with more than 20 employees, or a client without employer coverage, their Medicare supplement OEP, open enrollment period, should start when they sign up for Part B. People who miss this OEP likely won't be able to enroll in a Medicare supplement plan with guaranteed issue rights. That means they're going to have to fill out a health questionnaire and let the insurance company decide whether their physical condition, their health history, is sufficiently clean for them to be considered insurable. So it goes on to say, you must warn your clients of the possibility of late enrollment penalties. I never shut up about late enrollment penalties, ladies and gentlemen. I'm always trying to get my clients to please act. Don't delay acting because your late enrollment penalty will follow you to the grave. It will be with you the rest of your life. So what your clients don't know, they don't know. Late enrollment penalties can exist for Medicare Part A, Part B, and Part D. Whether or not someone incurs a penalty depends on their unique situation, mainly whether they have employer coverage and what kind, the size of the employer, and when they sign up for Medicare. If the client incurs any penalties, they'll pay for them the rest of the time they're on Medicare. Generally, that's going to be the rest of their lives. So I just shorten it by saying, the rest of your life. The penalties themselves may only be a few extra dollars a month, but they'll add up over time. And furthermore, agents must ensure that clients know that agents can help with the transition to Medicare. Around the time people approach retirement age, they start receiving a lot more mail and papers. To stay in the forefront of your clients' minds, we recommend reaching out to clients who are 64 and let them know that postponing their retirement may affect their Medicare enrollment deadlines. To rise above the noise even more, consider giving your clients a unique way to remember you. Don't just hand them a business card or a flyer that could get lost among all the other papers they're receiving. Give them something with your info on it that's harder to lose, like a back scratcher. Well, now, if your name is on a back scratcher, Randy's laughing, and he must feel better. He's yucking it up in there. If your back scratcher is being used, you're not going to be able to see it. It's not going to be in your direct line of sight. So I'm suggesting their second choice, which is a fly swatter, because that does two good things. It allows you to have your name in front of your potential client, and it allows you to kill insects.
Nice.
No better kind of insect than a dead insect, in my opinion.
How about a
magnet? They want you to use to give your client, potential clients, a magnet. I don't know what you're going to do with the magnet or what the client's going to do. I'm picturing a horseshoe magnet here. Are they going to go around and check their classic car to make sure it doesn't have too much Bondo in it? You know, that's what you use a magnet for if you're a car collector. So anyway, I'm sure that there are other more useful things that you could obtain to hand out to your potential clients so that they'll remember your names. And then finally, it says you must be increasingly careful not to make assumptions. And then I crossed out everything after that. So apparently that's pretty stupid content, and I'm sure you're sick of it. Because why should I be reading stuff about agents when you're not an insurance agent, if you're listening to this, most likely. Randy, are you awake and rejoining the human race?
I got an idea, Doug.
Lay it on me.
You know, I think in order to rise above the, the background noise, you should probably hand out fly scratchers or backswatters.
My God. I have a back scratcher right here that I could turn into a fly swat scratcher.
Yes. Uh-oh. Oh, geez. Hold on. We haven't heard the crickets for a long time, Doug.
I thought when you went off duty, they would go off duty.
They got right on by me there. Yeah. I have discovered, though, that, taking a nap while you're running the podcast is much easier on my side.
The only reason I knew you were napping was because you're not wearing your glasses with the eyeballs drawn on them.
No, that's true.
So
that's
I could see when your eyes were open and when they weren't. Other times, your eyes are always open and staring at me. You should draw little blood vessels in the whites of the eyes on the other pair of glasses.
That's called unblinking attention, Doug.
Yes. I used to be so impressed. Wow, this must be fascinating that Randy's listening so carefully. And then I found out the truth.
Oh, my gosh. You know, we are on the last day of the year, Doug. We ought to have something unusual to say. I don't know what that would be.
Well, I'm going to make a beeline for the beer repository just as soon as we're through here. So that's going to be my celebration. Leaving for Arizona in a couple of days. So we'll be using up our accumulated podcast episodes. So it's unlikely that people are really going to hear this until maybe mid-January.
Well, that's true. That's true. Didn't think about that. So let's go ahead and sign off here because we don't want to overstay our welcome for 2020. Good Lord, I want 2020 to be gone. Okay.
I want 2020 to be gone and the people who made it miserable for hardworking businessmen to be gone also. How do we get rid of them?
I've got an idea, but I probably shouldn't broadcast it over the air.
No, then you'll be the first one they come to look for when the shooting dies down.
That's right.
Let's land the plane. Let's put our possessions in the containers, the overhead bins. And we have to be careful when we're opening them because items may have shifted.
May have shifted during flight.
We're going to extinguish our smoking materials and try to pry the ashtray door open. It's probably not going to.
Well, it's welded. It's been welded shut for 20 years, Doug.
And let's see, what else are we doing?
The scary part about that.
Yeah.
All right. I would point out that the ashtrays have been welded shut for 20 years, which means that aircraft is at least 40 years old.
Well, let's hope they're doing maintenance on it once in a while.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I'm hoping so, but I'm not really going to guarantee anything.
I get Arizona Highways Magazine just because I like to torture myself. What's going on in Arizona? What am I missing? And the back page, they always have a quiz. They have a picture of something interesting, and the quiz is, where is this thing? Whoa, Big Ben is must be noon somewhere.
It's actually noon in London now.
Okay, well, good. Thank God for that. So anyway, the picture they took of the in the current issue was a picture of a bunch of airplanes with your typical Arizona mountains behind them. And I believe it was taken at Marana, where after 9/11, they created an airplane storage facility and mothball facility. And it says, where are these airplanes? But it says June of 2018, I think, maybe it was earlier than that, the last 747 in regular service by a major airline landed at that location and was put into mothballs. They don't fly 747s anymore.
They don't.
I think what they do in Marana is they pull planes in out of mothballs and put them into service during busy times of the year. I don't know if that's going to happen with the Chinese flu hanging around, but up until, you know, after 9/11, what they would do is during Easter, during Christmas, Thanksgiving weekends, they would pull some of those planes out of mothballs and put them back into service. So they can sit outside all day long with their windows covered up with some kind of weird stuff, and they can whip them right into shape when they need to do that. So I'm thinking maybe planes are a little more durable than we thought they were, Randy.
Well, the other thought that crossed my mind, Doug, was if we're going to bring planes into service appropriate with the level of, you know, air traffic flight.
Right,
you know,
right.
They're probably back knocking on all the people that have biplanes. you know, the leather helmets, biplanes, you know, and contact.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's a whole different deal there, right?
They don't need those expensive union mechanics with the biplanes.
No.
Basically, it's like a lawnmower engine and a guy laying on a wing.
They need somebody with some baling wire, a bit of gasoline, and one of those oil cans, you know, with the lever on it.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So anyway,
so we're on the ground and we're taxiing to our final resting place. So thank you very much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. Hope your New Year's was good, because it's in the rearview mirror for you now. But weird little time warp we're in, where Randy and I are looking ahead at New Year's Eve, and you all are looking at it in your rearview mirrors. But we will look forward to sharing Medicare knowledge with you again very, very soon. Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.